Well, we will start the meeting. We'll go around with introductions. I'm Pat Vitches. I am the CAT representative.
Of the Animal Advisory Board for Clark County, of the animal, Washington,
yes.
Meeting
Thank
Thursday,
you.
October 26th.
Thank you.
Yeah. Stephanie Hope, Life Horse representative.
Liz Grauer, veterinarian at large.
Regan Thomas and Dog.
Ariel Young, representative of animals other than dogs and cats.
Bobby Olson, same.
Lisa Fader with the Humane Society for Southwest Washington.
Paul Scarpelli, Animal Control.
Holly Blesser, Animal Rescue Representative.
Lynn Parker, at large. Our meeting minutes were recorded last time, so they're online already. And we have no public, because you're on the schedule, so we have no public here. And board business, advisory board applications interviewed. We have taken care of that. So we have Dog Paw, and Mark is here.
Thank you.
So we'll turn it over to you.
Well, I am Mark Watson, and I am currently the operations manager for Dog Paw. And for all of you who don't know, Dog Paw is the nonprofit organization that builds, maintains, and runs all the off-leash dog parks in Clark County. We have currently four dog parks located in different areas of town. All our parks are named after fallen canines. Why I've asked for this is, like most nonprofits, we're running into some problems. And this has been a very big year for Dog Paw. We have done a pretty much a major overhaul. We spent a re-imaging and bringing a lot of awareness to the public. Most people in the county and the city limits are under the impression that these parks are run by either the city or county parks system and are funded by their tax dollars. But unfortunately, that's not the case. We partner with the county and Bonneville. They give us the land, but we build the parks, maintain them, take care of them. So as time goes on, like all organizations, we are funded strictly by donations, memberships, sponsorships, and that's how we have stayed afloat. But as times are getting leaner and as Clark County is growing, listening to the lady before, these parks are becoming overcrowded. And the organization, as we look forward to expanding, the days of old have changed since new parks are under different permitting. And the price tags of new parks are quite extensive. They start at about $100,000 because of stormwater, parking lot permitting, and such. One of the problems, what I'm here to ask help with the advisory board, is for some time we have been discussing how to become sustainable. Because most of the time it's a very labor-intensive job to bring awareness to the public, which usually means you're in the parks on a daily basis, membership drive, tents, whatever, to let them, you know, inform them that their $25 membership helps pay for all the cost of these parks. So as we grow more and more, of course, memberships are less because we just don't have a huge volunteer base. And we've kicked around a couple ideas of how to become sustainable. Well, of course, we're reaching out to better branding system, to better sponsors. We've reorganized a better brand new website to help businesses, so the opportunity for businesses to take advantage of a large amount of people, it's actually state of the art, and it's been quite successful. But the price tag to keep the parks open on a yearly basis is $100,000, and that's on the short side. And one of the ideas we have talked about, and our board is kind of split, is looking at possibly, privatizing is a bad word, But we feel that if the public is not solely responsible, but we, as more and more people move in here, so does more and more dogs. And listening to that lady, we do not have the ability, nor do we have any true control of protecting these parks and the dogs. So
you're not authorized.
We are not authorized. I can ask them to leave, and most times they will, but I can't be in four parks 24 hours a day, and my park managers are only there when they're walking their dogs. So it's really hard to really enforce any good behavior or park etiquette to the public. So we have been pulling our hair out of how do we obtain some control over these parks. We can call, of course, 911 for incidents, or we can, you know, I can call Paul directly. But the problem is, by the time they can respond, it's usually too late. In most of the incidents, it's hard to get driver's license or license plates. Most of the time, people are taking their dogs and running out. As of this year, as of yesterday, I have had 5 dog deaths this year.
Oh, my God.
You had another one yesterday?
Yeah. And it's
attacked by another dog.
I've had 6 dog bites that they report, either they'll call dog paw, or most of the time it's very surprising they don't inform the county or animal control. It's usually after the fact, and but once the dog is passed, I mean, it's too late. The damage is done and there's nothing you can say. We do have a few people that really have no business being in these dog parks as an off-leash. We understand that. But it's really hard. I can get away with it because I'm not small, but some of my, you know, lady park managers and representatives, it's hard for them to confront, you know, larger people that just feel it's, you know, you can understand what usually the verbiage is. So one of the options were, besides, and that's why I'm not a fan of the word privatized, but if we had a scan card system somehow, then when we have incidents on multiple reporting levels, we then have a recourse to deactivate a card to at least allow that person either to get some help in an educational way with their dog, or in a lot of cases, maybe even in their, you know, behavior with them. Most of the time, it's usually the owners which need more education. So it's a thought, but there's so, as this sheet, that's, we're losing control. It was another idea. Do we add possibly when the licensing renewals come up, to add a possible dollar on the ballot? Would you like to donate a dollar to the off-leash dog parks? Well, in the case of Clark County, there currently is 23,000 and some dogs which are licensed in Clark County. It's not even a drop of how many dogs use these parks. We put counters and have people. We have in on any good week in excess of over 5,000 dogs a week use these parks. It's really hard to find out how many dogs actually are in Clark County. It's almost an impossibility. So you use the national, you know, 44% of the households have a dog. Well, I think, what is the last count? How many people move into Clark County now? It's upwards of 150 people a day are moving here to the Clark County area. So you can see, and as more and more people use it, the resources are getting a little lean. So like all boards, we were not overstaffed, but we have made huge improvements on our board. So we have a lot more higher quality that business people that can help us reach out to the community to find, you know, bigger and better sponsors like a lot of businesses use. So here with the advisory, listening to some of the complaints, I can only imagine some of the concerns people have about dog parks. people who are responsible walk into some of these parks, and I'll just use my favorite park, Dakota, which is, it's a war zone in there, honestly. On any beautiful day, you'll find anywhere upwards of 50 to 75 dogs, and a lot of them are not being paid attention to. They are not being picked up after. So there's a lot of concerns, which is just basic good park etiquette that most people take for granted that somebody will pick it up after them. But we, trust me, don't have even that kind of manpower to make sure every stray is picked up. And then we'll start on the just the environmental portion of these, why these parks are so important, is every schoolyard, every riverbed, every stream, every churchyard, if the parks were to go away, will be inundated by all these dogs. As per the agreement with the county, we have to dismantle them if we should run out of money and go out of business. So we're okay for now, but I'm trying. That's just a mere, the problem that we're facing is it's not something I, even with money, I can't fix the problems without some kind of a system to get control and help people. I mean, for the most part, people they only want their dogs to be happy. But it only takes a few, and then it's, you know, not a nice time at the dog park. Mm-hmm. So what I would like is if you could put your heads together and help us figure how we can get a little control and sustainability. In addition, besides getting a little control to help, you know, monitor these parks better, it can also be used for animal control that, well, to be an entry into these parks, your dog has to be licensed. Mm-hmm. Which most of the dogs that come into the park are not licensed. So it's kind of a twofer. It can help control and at least give, you know, some help to animal control and licensings for the dogs. It can help put a little control into these parks, because in 2 years, I couldn't even imagine how overcrowded these will be. We have spots for two other new parks, but the sheer cost of them will make them years before we could even attempt to maybe get them up and running. And that probably by then will be too late. We'll need two more parks.
So your problem really is people. People not being cooperative, people not following the rules, people not watching out for their animals. And for you to be sustainable in the future, you have to be able to control who uses the park. And I don't think that unless you are able to privatize, fence it off, have people pay not only a fee to have a card, but a fee each time they go in there, mm-hmm. you are not mm-hmm. going to be able to keep the riffraff, for lack of a better term, out of those parks. And if you can't get them out, all the people who care about their animals, who are worried about the behavior of the riffraff's dogs, they're not going to go. And you're going to be in worse condition than you were before. I really think that privatization and or fee-based entry is going to be the only way you can control things. Look at what happened when they stopped charging fees for the county parks around here. I would love to be able to have a better idea than that. I would also love to win the lottery so I could fund it has to be on private property. The county parks, theoretically, you can charge admission fee because it's a park. I think they've gone back to charging admission fees now.
The county gets, it's that catch-22. It's public land because it's county property. Mm-hmm. So, yes, your tax dollars have some, in one way or another, paid for this land, with the exception of the land which Bonneville owns. Mm-hmm. Bonneville owns the Dakota Park. They own the Ike Memorial in Hazeldale because that's their land, but they just lease it to the county as part of a park agreement. Mm-hmm. Because the best thing underneath power lines is dogs. Because they dogs don't care about power lines, and they're not worried about any shocking. So, Bonneville, we've been good partners for quite some time. So, the catch is it's a public land, so ideal. I've talked this at length with Bill Berkey, who is the County Parks Director, of course, and he's not... He's sympathetic, but his hands are tied. They get around their fees. It's just a parking permit. You know, you pay a day pass or a seasonal pass, and you know you can use the facilities. We don't have that option unless we put a little hut and have somebody man it. You know. During hours of operation so they can collect fees. That might be harder press than, we've scoured the nation looking at all the other dog parks, what everyone else uses. And I've compiled a nice big binder, and we're one of the few that is not a membership base that you can have access. Mm-hmm. Our fee, we've kept it. There's no reason to keep raising it for the few that have always supported, but most private parks around the nation start at $100 a month. Nobody gets a year pass, so we get that, and we've talked about it, but we're trying to take baby steps because there are unfortunate, we all understand that. So this is why I've come to you, because this is your, I don't want to say job, but it's your passion to help figure and help us. That's stuff that we've thought about, but we honestly don't know how to fix the control piece over the... And I've talked at length with Paul about this, and it's just one of those things I don't have an answer for. I would love to put the system in and give everybody a card, and here's your, you know, you're paying for the card access.
I wonder if that would be more expensive than putting a person there.
It's not cheap.
You know.
For that system, and there is an issue, because Bonneville's not a big fan of us putting any power in their park. But they kind of frown, and I hate to keep always doing things on the cover of darkness. I didn't say that, but it is, well, in today's, you know, minimum wage, whether it's just sitting there, I don't know.
And that would be a relatively risky position unless they had some kind of authority.
And that's
right. Exactly.
And weaponry, yeah. Sometimes. Well, what about having the county, at least in the county parks, having the county charge a fee for people to go in there, regardless of why they're going in there?
Yeah.
And then the county gets it, and then maybe something could be worked out so that the county could grant back some of the money they collect to Dog Paw.
This is the curse.
To find someone to man the hut.
Well, but if it's park rangers, park is collecting the money, they would have a park ranger doing that with, you know.
But the curse is it's not a park. The distinction, in my eyes, a dog park is no different than a people park, except my dog parks bring more people to them than people parks.
Yes.
So, but unfortunately, they feel dog parks are kind of the bottom of the priority, even though it's number three on the county's public want more dog parks. It's number two on the builder's list. They need, most people that move here want a dog park of some sort near their home. So the popularity of them is there. It's just getting around the red tape. And
what about going to private land? I mean, what about taking your,
Private
land's
pretty
stinking
expensive right now.
You might find somebody who can partner with you.
You know, we've in Alaska, we've put little ads out. We've had a couple, but they're either way, way out in the middle of nowhere. But eventually, it'll sprawl out to it.
Right.
But the curse then is, okay, then these parks go away, let's say, and you move to private land, which we've thought about. But you're right, in today's age, land is premium, unless someone donates it to you. But usually it's, there was a gentleman last year that worked with the county who wanted to give land to the county with some concessions. And Bill said, would you guys like this land? It's like, well, it's a long ways out there. I don't know who would be using it. Probably coyotes and cougars. So we're trying to vet. We'll figure out the sustainability with sponsors and donations mm-hmm. and continue on, but unfortunately that will not fix the problem.
Right, the people problem.
And it is a people problem, but it's a problem that these parks are they're becoming overcrowded. And the curse is they are dog parks, and you hate to say it's not a people park, but it's meant for the safety and well-being of the dogs to play and socialize, so they're not causing problems in the community, as we've researched endlessly with this, you know, the brochure just to show you. So the value of these parks is insurmountable for community well-being.
I guess I personally feel like until there's someone manning a hut who is also, you know, have it there during open hours, because collecting, if not a you know, an annual fee, an entrance fee for that day, you know, and you also have someone who's there. We've stopped going to Dog Paw mm-hmm. specifically for some of these very reasons. There's nobody there. There's no lifeguard per se. There's no one who's knowledgeable in jumping in and helping on those situations.
Sure.
But he tased the dog mm-hmm. that's killing the other dog.
You know, yeah. If you have someone who's there, who hopefully entrance fees can sustain, mm-hmm. And who's able to lock it up at the end of the day, mm-hmm. Who's collecting money, is also there in a safety element, enforcing these rules, who's there to receive reports of biting, I'm all for it, and quite honestly, I probably won't come back until I see something in place like that.
And it's very understandable. That has been concerns of a lot of people that go to these parks, because it's not like walking in one of the trails with your dog on a leash. It's a completely different. Mm-hmm. And if you are inattentive, if you're just really the young, might be a little bit clueless. They're just getting a dog for their benefit, really not understanding really how to help it socialize. So it happens every day. I don't like to say that, but it's just the cold hard facts.
I don't think a card solves your people problem.
It's not
be a first
it's
step.
The cost yeah. of going to the park that solves the vast majority of
that's
people.
True that's
it's
true
the cost. You have to be able to make people pay for it, because if they pay for it, they value it. And they're
true.
Going to be
that's true.
They're going to be reasonably responsible people to begin with, because the irresponsible people aren't going to want to pay money.
It's just so expensive to run a card system, and then they lose their card.
Oh, but they don't even have the option
card,
to
you
do
know.
It at this point.
The curse,
so
in response to this, we tried to figure out the manning it with, let's say, a booth or a fee.
Sure.
Being that two of the parks are on federal land, that opens up Bonneville is being that the park and ride is where we park at the Ike Park in Hazeldale. It would be a very long drawn out fight to let us do that, because it's a public park and ride and it's federal land. That's the curse. So if we put a person in the park, then it becomes a public, and then I have to deal, are they going to be needing to be with union because it's county property or federal property? Then I open the door to, well, as much as I hate to say it, I mean, it changes the complexity. I just can't put, let's say, one of my volunteers there in a booth and say, you need to pay me 50 cents to enter this park today. Mm-hmm. We've actually looked at, there's some places that do turnstiles. Yeah. But you're right, the sheer cost of it. But as we found out of not doing anything, why we spent so much on awareness and advertising is here, if we do nothing, it costs almost even more.
Yeah. Well, the more you advertise, the more people you're bringing in, but you're getting the wrong people, because the right people are going once and then saying, no, I'm not going back there.
Welcome to the headache that this has been for, and it's not so bad in the beginning years when they were first opened.
It was a lot of fun in the beginning.
Unfortunately, it's been the last, as our numbers have dwindled. It's becoming, it's a full-time job. To have something that is absolutely positively you have to have in this community. Because if not, you're going to have a lot more problems in everywhere else. So.
I'm honestly not sure that's necessarily true. Hmm? If you were to shut down every single one of the dog parks today, you'd have a lot of people screaming, but they wouldn't be turning their dogs loose to run all over all the schoolyards and stuff because they would get busted for something like that. Now, granted, some of them will.
But not all of them, yeah.
No, not
but
all.
But not all of them. A lot of the responsible people will go back home and start thinking, where can I take my dog? What am I going to do? Maybe I should call Dogpaw and see if we can figure out something different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the worst comes to worst, it adds to a desperate situation. You shut them all down and you say, until we raise enough funds to have a private property that we can do a turnstile on, we're not going to have any more parks. I realize that doesn't sound like an appealing option, but sometimes people just won't do anything until they are forced into it, until you take away. And they've been spoiled because it's been too easy, it's been too cheap, it's been completely voluntary whether they put any money into it. You've created a monster that needs to be either tamed or just put to bed for a while.
The few years ago, we thought, as we knew that the end was coming, because it just, you know, people, it's just harder and harder. We can't be here 24/7 telling people as they walk in. Mm-hmm. The majority of people, they just, when they find out that these are not funded by their tax dollars, are very gracious. And they are anything they can do to help. So that's never, it's just getting enough. It's impossible. We've spent and time this year on a magnitude, and we've only just reached an additional 15%
of memberships.
Yeah. So
in our world,
and it's no different. It's the same curse of all nonprofits, but it's. We've come to, and trust me, my board is split. They don't want to go down that rabbit hole. The rabbit hole of trying to make a system to have people accountable. Mm-hmm. But it's a brand new board. They're all new. Mm-hmm. They're realizing with all the incidents, we have no control.
No, you don't.
I can't, and trust me, he already... Yeah. Checks my calls as it is because he knows why I'm calling him. So he does as much as he can with his officers. I mean, he's undermanned.
Oh, I know.
By putting a system, is that going to fix the problem? No. We are looking at trying to develop a better educational, but then we're going to have to try and train all these people. And I don't know if that's even possible.
I don't.
Education isn't going to solve the problem population.
It'll reach us on people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the first. Everything is a cost. And it's just, that's just, unfortunately, we are a labor intensive organization because, you know, we have to pick up the waste. And, I mean, God forbid, we picked up almost 7 tons of waste this year. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of poop being picked up. Mm-hmm. And it comes at a cost.
Mm-hmm. So, if are you saying that? That by being on public property, you are not allowed, and there will be no instance where you can charge a fee or that kind of thing for using the parks.
He's not saying that.
Okay.
We just haven't attempted it completely. It's been rare that it's been allowed to be done. Uh-huh. And Bjorki is a little reticent to leave that charge.
Uh-huh. And that would only be the county property.
So that is why Mark is here. He's hoping that the advisory board will advise county council that let's look into perhaps doing this. Maybe just do one park for a while and see what happens. And this being a privatization model. Does that mean it's a card swipe, a turnstile? I don't know. Certainly what Liz is saying about, well, then maybe, you know, an option is to shut it down. It's, clearly that's an option, but that's not why Mark's here. He doesn't want you to recommend that.
No.
Mark's very passionate. He's got several thousand, I don't know, members who would be distraught if these went away. So we're trying to advise or take into consideration what he's suggesting, package it into something that then we can advise council, and And these are all in the county, right? They're none in the city? It's
just the Ike Park. That's the only city, but
that's on federal land, so it doesn't really count.
It's kind of, and Bonneville will, honestly, they will do what the other parks do. So it's not, they're not, trust me, they have had their own incidents with dogs off leash in the parking area, mm-hmm. Where some of their security people have had to draw their weapon and maybe fire in the ground next to the dog, because it was very aggressive and they feared for their life a little bit. So, which caused me to have to put signs up in a parking lot, but it's okay. So it is a people issue. This is what I'm here. I don't have an answer. I really don't.
So if you privatize it and somebody brings their dog there and it dies, are you then liable for these owners or any more liable than you
I'm
are
I'm sure
right
we
now?
Are. Once we put a system...
Well, not necessarily. I mean, if you're...
In today's age, and these are, trust me, these are all, trust me, these are all questions that our upper board has said, well, is this going to cause us problems down the road? We've been very fortunate that there has not been any lawsuits. Trust me, it's a matter of time.
But you said that you've done a lot of research in what other models around the country are doing, and so surely there are dog parks that operate this way, and so there must be an answer out there.
On public land or on private land? I'm familiar with a great one in Jacksonville.
A lot of them are run by the cities.
Yeah.
You know, so what kind of land, not so much who runs them, but what kind of land are they on? Because it sounds like a lot of the things you're bumping up against is who actually owns the land.
All right, so that is an item where perhaps the county can continue to have ownership of it, but they lease it to, you know, a private nonprofit through an RFP process of request for proposal. This is just me dreaming things up that Mark and I have talked about for months, and thus the public has had an opportunity to create a different dog paw group, Paw Dog, that, you know, is the anyway, so in that case, then you kind of change what the legal aspects are of that parcel of land, or in 19 other ways that perhaps you can get to the same point, that the Dakota Park stays where it is. It's just sort of legally become a different piece of property that then would allow higher fences with barbed wire and, you know, whatnot. And you'd have to pay to get in.
Okay. So yeah, that explains it well. Thank you.
Things like that.
That's what they pay the county lawyers for, right?
Well, okay, so if you just look at what Mark says, and I think you've all got a great sense of the need of the community, the passion of the board, the idiots that sometimes frequent the parks, and unfortunately five times it's not turned out well. But the first one is he's just trying to make sure that you're aware and you're advocates of who and what they are. Number two is, if we have means through the board or you personally for them to come up with the additional funding sources, he's already talked about the one that would be found on our renewal license form, similar to when you license your car, they ask if you want to opt out of paying $5 for the state park system. We wouldn't do an opt out, we'd do an opt in. And I've discussed this with you all before, that it's not, we wouldn't have just dog paw be the sole recipient. We would say the cruelty cases, spay neuter, equine. You know, we would have two or three others that people could choose from and put it in a separate bucket and help pay for needs in the community. Number three is future acquisition of land that they have under their control. The right word.
We
have the right to develop at some point.
We have that, like, we have a 12-acre right behind Southwest Washington Humane Society next to English Pit that has been deeded and approved by the county council. But and we're already in partnership. Well, we've talked with the Humane Society and Harmony Sports Complex for that, because we knew I had with the loss of the Washougal Park, the Dakota was going to become even worse, because everybody from Camas Washougal will go to that park. They don't want to go to a further away park. And we've had that for a while, but because of the permitting with the city and Harmony Sports Complex is in the same boat, we're going to have to put in a new four-way light, change the parking structure system. It is an extensive project, but I won't undertake that project until the existing parks have become sustainable. Okay. However that is going to be, I'm not going to go out and campaign for $1 million for a new park when I have four parks that are failing. And they're not failing, I'm trying to figure out a solution of getting some control. Because I sympathize with Ariel that she won't go back to these parks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Honestly, I don't think I'll say that, but I understand. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have a lifeguard.
Right. And to be perfectly honest, and I don't go because my dog is not very cooperative and obedient.
But at least you're a responsible pet owner that you realize that, and I wish if I had at least more of that, I'd have a lot less headaches.
Yeah.
Because it's not, it really isn't the dog's fault.
No.
Some of them are just born, you know, more aggressive, but that's okay. They're just having more fun.
They're usually paired with owners who tend to be aggressive when somebody tries to correct the situation, too, which is intimidating as well.
Can I ask one other thing?
Sure.
By making this, proposing this advice to the county, are we going above your board? I mean, what I'm hearing is you have a young board, that they're split, that they... So, I mean, are you
am I lone wolfing it?
Well, are you here asking us to do something that your own board doesn't even support?
Are
fully, like, in greater than 50%?
Well, being that I have a brand new board of all makes in life, I have park directors from Battleground.
Sure.
Parks and Recs. I've got CPAs. I've got vice presidents. So they are new to this, but their passion for their dogs is there. Right now, our biggest concern is how we become sustainable and how we can protect these parks more, because
tend to people go there.
They're not, in my opinion, since I'm there every day, they're not safe enough that I would feel, you know, because it is a war zone right now, because I don't have a lifeguard.
I don't disagree with you.
And I don't, but I, the way I have to take baby steps is I have to address the situation. I'll have to use you to see the need to maybe make a recommendation that at least I can start talking to the county council.
So I'm not do we have to come up with an idea that'll work before we make a suggestion to them, or just...
I'm afraid so.
Well, so one of the ideas that we've discussed, Mark and I, and then this body as well, is how can animal control through its renewal process, or should animal control through its renewal process, help a sister agency try to come up with more funds? And I guess you have to take a step back from that and say, you're never going to raise enough money to throw at this problem to solve it, but more money would certainly help. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
More money would certainly help, be that through education, more lifeguards, be they volunteer or whatever, different systems in place through legal means that allow privatization and whatnot, which would cost money to, once that decision was made, to get there. So there's the money aspect. So does this board, you don't have to answer this tonight, in fact, you probably should do your own research and come back with your opinions later. Does this board support Dogpaw, and are they willing to use animal controls? Resources might not be the right
word. very limited resources.
Infrastructure, maybe.
Great minds think.
Infrastructure to provide another revenue stream for Dogpaw. Okay, that's one ask. The next is, well, then, you know, are we also willing to sign our name to, you know, support Dog Paw in moving forward with a test case? What's the word I'm looking for there?
Pilot.
Pilot. Thank you. That's exactly what I was thinking. For a pilot park that tweaks it somehow that there's limited admission, right? So that's another ask that Mark is looking for. And again, it has to do with
the maximum
us influencing.
Well, and that's what something we've thought about is how do we,
so many people could,
because I can't enforce anything over 50, let's say in Dakota. Well, that's your.
I'm sorry, I interrupted your thought.
Those are two pretty big ones right there, right? To chew on and come back and discuss.
Can I throw out just something that I've seen as far as the educational piece with people, but I don't know how it really works. It's just something that I've seen in a park that I've been to in another out of area, where before you could actually get into the park, you had to go watch a video about the rules, and this is what we expect here. You can do this, you can do this, you can't do this, and you can't do this. And it goes through everything, and then have a nice time, and lets you out to go into the park.
Mm-hmm. That sounds familiar. I've talked with their volunteer person, and the same how they vet volunteers.
Yeah.
And I agree. I wish I had the ability to, but then I would have to ask. I mean, we were actually thinking of putting one on the website if you'd like to learn more about, you know, dog behavior and such. But
they're not going to watch that.
No,
this is the problem at the park.
No, I know.
You have to watch this to come into the park.
Well, then I'm back to the square one of having.
Exactly. It all comes back to the same square.
I also think they should be licensed to use the park.
Yes, they should.
That is one of the rules.
They should pay. They should be licensed.
It is the law.
But I mean, the turnstile thing. You have to show your license if you're going
to
do.
Or you get the card. You have to.
Exactly.
You have to have a license to get the card. You have to have the card to get through the turnstile, and the card will somehow be noted whether you've seen the video or not.
Before we start adding extra expenses to this project, let's figure out what the project is going to be.
I apologize because I have to leave. In terms of a shelter update, I really don't have a whole lot to talk about tonight. So, except that stray numbers are increasing significantly. Paul's bill last month was very high.
Wow. Is that for dogs and cats both, or
primarily
just dogs?
Primarily cats. There were nearly 100 cats more in the month of September, which took in nearly 100 more cats than we had last September. And we only took in 180 cats
last
September.
And these are strays, not feral?
Yes, strays.
And are these kittens or full-grown cats?
A lot of kittens.
Yeah, kitten season has not ended
season
yet.
I've
got five of them at my house.
Yeah, so we're seeing a lot of animals. We're very, very full with strays. A lot of redemptions, which is great. I mean, dogs are getting redeemed a lot, but just a lot of stray animals. It's kind of an odd year this year. So,
where is the thunder?
What's redemption?
When a stray dog gets picked up by its owner.
Oh, okay. Reclaimed in the fees.
Reclaimed, yeah.
Can we trade any of these cats for the dogs we're getting from other jurisdictions?
We'll take your dog if you take two cats.
Yes, exactly. No, we're actually doing a cat promotion for the first time in a long time. We haven't really done like a adoption promotion because people just adopt, but we're putting one in this weekend, Name Your Own Price, Fall Something, 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 Fall Into Love. So
if you have all these strays, why are we continuing to import? Because you've got, 37 dogs coming in tonight?
Oh, they don't have problems with
dogs. They don't have problems with dogs.
Oh, okay.
Dogs.
They don't have enough to adopt.
Exactly.
Well, I know. But you know, I thought you had a lot of stray dogs.
We do have
too.
A lot of stray dogs, but we have a lot of redeemed dogs. So they'll come in as stray, but then they get picked up by their owners. So
cats,
we don't actually have to adopt. Yeah,
I've been adopting a lot of cats every
day. We have
been
adopting a lot of cats, yeah. But we're very full right now. So, anyway.
Thank you.
See you all next time.
Nice seeing you again.
I'll
I'll be in touch. You bet.
So, Mark, I would ask that so we've had a good discussion,
mm-hmm.
and you've brought to our attention some work that you've done looking at other jurisdictions and mm-hmm. how they attack this issue. Is there a way that you can electronically forward that information to me such that I can share it with
just
the
all the different parks in the nation of
yeah,
what they?
Yeah, you've already done sure. all the legwork. Yeah. I don't really.
No, no, that's not.
I don't need them to do that. That you've already got it. I just need to get it in their hands.
Sure, I can scan them and get them to you. That's no problem.
Okay. Maybe it would be a good idea to just start like an online conversation with everybody
sure.
on the board and him CC'd in it, so we can
right.
kind of reply all and
right.
if we come up with ideas or something, we can share them with you as
sure.
well as everybody else at the same time. Yeah, and I want to go on record. I do support dog paw in every way, shape, and form. I support the concept. I support, I used to go there when I had well-behaved dogs, and one with a remote collar who wasn't so well-behaved. But in the last 10 years, it has, the ones that I go to have degenerated to, people with dogs that are just, it's just a mess. And I hate to see it go down that road, but that is one of the reasons I don't go. That is one of the reasons an awful lot of other people don't go, or they only go at certain times when there's nobody else around. And the thought that people are having animals killed there is just horrifying. I heard of one once, but I'd be more than willing to do whatever it took within my capability to try and help find a solution to this, but I don't personally have anything that I can offer to the board specifically at this point. And I'm probably just going to take more discussion.
It's something we have talked about for years.
Mm-hmm.
And our hands are kind of tied, and we now know that we will eventually have to go before the council and mm-hmm. figure out a way of changing how we do business. Whatever that might be, whatever picture that comes out, I've got to figure out a way, because I cannot let these parks, it's a public place. Anybody can mm-hmm. come there. So,
you say your hands are tied, so we have to figure out a way to untie those
and
hands.
That's, well, because
and
of
that's
just
where
county
maybe
rules
the county
and regulations.
Comes in.
Yeah.
We can create, I can't create. I don't have any sense of that, but we can direct the council to at least work on creating a new set of laws specific for dog paw or dog parks that could potentially untie your hands in the county parks.
And that, to start,
that may be,
I mean, that
may be our only option at this point, but if we can get the county parks under control, then you have the ability to point at them and say, this is what's working for these parks, BPA, help us figure out how to do something different along those lines with your park.
Because you seem to have data about how, not only how popular they are now, but how they are on a priority list for people moving in and developers, have you never gone to the council with that documentation and saying, we need to have a county partner with us and provide funding?
that second part might be kind of tough to get. Partnering.
Well, at some point, somebody has to come up with
some
money.
That dog paw is a 501c3, so we have strict rules in our, our bylaws of what we're allowed to, to do. So if it comes to the point in the county now, let's has to start paying and all the governing agents around Battleground, Richfield, Vancouver, paying us to manage, then the complexity of the organization changes. We're almost then a employee of the county.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to find a solution to keep things
simple. And your data that you're going to provide us about your survey of other dog parks
sure.
around the country, does that have information as to who, any of those that our city or county supported and operated?
Some do, because they are like...
But we'll know that from your data.
They'll have it on the
okay.
sheet set, because I pull it right off their website. The latest was New Orleans just opened up their fancy new dog park. But it's at, it is city run, but it is a fee. You have to pay a fee to access the park.
So...
That seems like the best solution.
Yeah.
Well,
it
probably, bad people will still, I still have the problem. So this is it's a process, and that now with better, I'm trying to figure that out, because I don't want things to be, I don't want it to be a war zone going into these parks, because there are so many people using them. So you're right. A lifeguard, if I had lots of money, I probably could hire. And then you're right. Now I have someone trained that could be there.
Sure.
I get it. So I guess money does fix all problems, but.
I guess I feel like a lot of great ideas have been thrown out.
Sure.
Can we do this? Can we do this? But I mean, it's.
What's the main cause?
No, I mean, we know what the problem is. Sure. We know some of the things that have been done, you know, but personally, and I'm new to the board, so
sure.
You have to bear with
me. It's okay,
this
you
is
can
my
be.
Second time. But I'm seeing this list, and I'm feeling like you're coming to us saying, we have these problems, could you solve them for us? And we don't really know how we want your help, but rather than saying, can you, we have this option, and this option, could you advise on these things? It just feels very much like
if you're asking me
all
one
of these
thing,
issues are landing in our
no,
and I, we want to help, we just don't know how.
You are the first stepping stone to make recommendations to the council. If I just ask Bill Berkey, Bill, can you get me some time in front of the county council on Tuesday, I can make the same proposal and show them the same stuff. But I have been learning, if I get organizations to see the same and make, we feel that maybe you should look at an option to put control into Dog Paw's hands over these parks. I'm not asking you to solve my money problems unless you won the lottery and you're just being real secretive. But I'm asking you because you are the Parks Advisory Board.
So that's the specific thing that's most important.
That's what I need.
Regaining control.
That's it.
Of your
because with
park.
Control comes it is. Trust me, most of my membership always ask why can't we have it be private. Because we're tired of paying for all everybody who comes from Portland, who comes with dogs that have no business. It's the same thing.
Ooh, we could require they have to be residents of
right.
Clark County.
I'm not against. I mean,
yeah.
But sure, trust me, the door opens. Then what about the people coming from North Carolina traveling through and they Google and see, oh, we're going to go take our dog to the dog park.
They don't have a card. They don't get in.
But that, trust me, that will be.
It'll be a factor. Yeah.
So who advises on the house? So I mean, do you want us to both advise on?
I think
giving
what Paul
you more
said,
control and the house or the
house H-O-W-S.
Oh, house.
Yeah, the house.
Okay.
Sorry, you're right. So if I'm hearing you right, you would like our support in what you're proposing. For consideration of
unless
some kind of feedback.
You feel there's an option we haven't thought about. That's what I'm saying.
Got it.
If
well,
you
I
can,
am understanding
if
you, what
you if
want.
You can think, I mean, trust me, we have thought about this. It's not like we haven't discussed this for years and trying to figure out how to do it, but it always comes back. We only have so much power. So now we're starting I am not political. I barely can get through without kicking people out of parks. I'm doing pretty good. No?
You're doing
I have a suggestion.
So this is where I'm now starting here, and the board knows, so it's not like I'm going behind anybody's back, is what is how I can, if you can make a recommendation, the council will listen, and then the next step, if that's the case, I can now go before them. Because at least I've got an advisory board seeing the same problems that well, listening to that lady that was interviewing for a space, I was like, wow, I guess she didn't know I was listening. She had the same concerns as you, it sounded like.
I have a suggestion. Because of the death that happened yesterday, you said, and you documented at least what you know of people getting bit.
Sure.
I think, for starters, we as a board could recommend to the county council that they look at finding a way to be able to control who attends and what animals attend the park to at least open up a discussion with Dog Paw to find a way to give them more control over what happens in the park, which means control over people, control over which animals are there. That would imply some kind of keyed entry or something along those, some way to control who goes in there, which you cannot do right now because you don't have the power. But if they were to approach it from a, you know, animals are dying there, people are getting hurt, we need to do something about it, that may be a better way to approach them than to just say, well, they're out of control, and they'll just kind of like, yeah, well, we don't take our animals there, so we don't really care. But if we approach it from a pet safety standpoint and get some press in the Columbian about how the county needs to be more involved or allow it, that might be the angle at which to approach the council at first. Because none of them are going to go on record saying, well, we don't really care if animals die.
It's that, and I've talked to many of the council people, and they're very supportive of the organization. But
being supportive of it is going to have to translate into something else.
I'm just showing you the overview in case you didn't know anything about Dog Paw. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm asking is to help me find the control factor to make these parks safer with the county so we can rein them in a bit. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Of the four parks, which ones are on county property?
Dakota.
You said it was
Pacific Park.
You said Dakota was owned by Bonneville.
No. It's county.
Ross
it's,
is owned by
it's Ross. County run. It's county. Bonneville owns the land, but the county has control because that's where the ball fields are and that. The community gardens are over there, but it's underneath the power lines. That is county. The Hockessin Community Cane Field is county. Lucky Dog Park is county. Only the Ike Hazeldale Ross Park is that city, inside city limits, and it's federal land. They actually, because that's their substation. So they have full control over that park of anything that really goes on.
You can never, like, limit access to that one.
Never would.
Limit access to that one.
Yeah. So Bonneville don't want bad press. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
So.
So if you were going to pick a park for a pilot park,
Dakota.
You pick? Dakota.
First and foremost, it's probably the most crowded, and it's the most incidents recorded this year.
Yeah, it's in a pretty heavily populated area, too.
And then, of course, people from Camas, Washington. And we've been in negotiations for the last, well, for the last couple of years to try and find a park in the Camas, Washougal to keep them over there. But that hasn't been going very well.
I wonder if we make a you know, if council's a little nervous to do it, maybe we could offer up a sunset clause. You know, something where, you know, like, if they're, you know, holding back, concede that, you know, as a pilot, you know, what do we want to do? Run the pilot for a year? Then if...
Reassess.
And then reassess.
Yeah. I'm also thinking that... perhaps there's some subcommittee that's put together that's a joint thing between Bjerke's group. I don't know if they have some sort of parks advisory board. I don't really know.
They do,
and
actually.
It was somebody from here and somebody from your board and work a little bit more deeper into the options that we've discussed and not necessarily make a decision, but think them all the way through and then present those three or four. Somewhere over here we were talking about development and how the developers that's high on their list or high on their client's list, which made me think of what's called the real estate excise tax, that when you're the seller of a property, you pay 0.5% of the sale of the home and it goes into real estate excise tax funds. The first one is, I'm going to get this backwards or completely wrong, but you'll understand what I'm saying, that the first percent goes to, or the first 25%, 0.025, it's like a very small number, goes to park development, and then the other one goes to park maintenance.
Is that the PIF or...
No, that's different.
That's different.
That's different. that is a tax that goes to the buyer. So you or actually usually the developer, and then they bury it in the price of the home. So there's a school impact fee, there's a park impact fee, and there's a traffic impact fee. None of which, by the way, for the record, community development controls, even though we're always blamed for that. So that is yet another option where you could either add something to whatever that percentage is, or somehow glean some small fraction of what is already being generated to provide dog paw with a REIT is volatile. It's not as dependable as just property tax, but it's still pretty steady.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to just have one-time things. You need a consistent flow of cash.
We have many irons in the fire. But again, I'm here because, yes, money will... we can keep, and that'll be fine, but it still doesn't fix the control problem of the parks. And that's my, that is first and foremost my concern, because I'm responsible for these parks, is making sure these dogs are safe. Don't take it wrong. I don't care about the owners. I only care that those dogs are safe in that park, because the people are the ones causing my greatest headaches. So I just make sure that the dogs are safe, they can't get out, and then try and keep them from eating each other. So
that's, go back to talk to your board about this little thing I just threw out here at the very end about maybe there's some cohesive other subgroup that comes together and really works their way through these ideas. We're all, as far as I can see people's faces tonight, we're all in support of making a good effort to make the dog parks successful.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to sign my name to any kind of directive recommendation that makes sense regarding the county finding a way to untie their hands for at least one of the parks.
Yeah. In the neighborhood. And then send us around.
Send me
whatever you can on your research.
Would you like it to be kept to under a dozen, or would you like all of them?
I think that what we are supposed to do is to direct the council to hear you out. So,
I don't know if we have to be
that detailed.
I don't know if you've got... Let's say there's three or four different ideas of the way that people are doing it. So then can you send us two or three examples?
You want me to take
one of those top four,
let's say?
Yeah, let's say the top four. Because
I don't want you to have to read the novel that I have.
And not only that, but anything that we do is just a suggestion anyway. It's not like we have to figure out exactly what we're going to tell them we want them to do.
No, and I understand you don't have a true power, but at least
we have no power, really.
Well,
we just have,
but at least
suggestibility.
Well, you have one more notch above me.
So if he just went there on his own, they'd say, "Well, have you talked to the animal control?"
And that's so you understand why. And it's not like I haven't. So I'm just doing my due diligence, and
we can generate
because the alternative is, well, you might not agree that they might be amongst the public, but owners will take their dog somewhere. God forbid they're using Cook Park along the Columbia now because of Washougal. And
I walk mine around the neighborhood and I take baggies. So
yeah, except they don't have them on leash. That's the curse.
My dogs should be off leash.
I know I don't want to make it late, so I'll leave you my card if you guys have any questions I can answer, but I will send Paul. And, of course, if you're wondering whose regal dog that is, of course, that's mine. Just because I can put it on the card. And it's not a chihuahua. You don't need that, yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for your time. And I'll value you any insight.
Thanks for all your work for the community, Mark.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you, folks.
Thank you for coming. Okay, we'll move on to marketing materials for Battleground La Center in Richfield.
I think it's much more of a discussion. I think I shared with you those items last time, that it was the brochure that just opens up and it broadly speaks to the advantages of what what we have, all of our resources, all of our training and whatnot, and how it makes sense to, as one of the interviewees said earlier today, have a, like a cohesive across the region resource for everybody. I did meet with Battleground City Council at the beginning of, I think, this month, and they were a tough audience, and what I was left with was that they are concerned about what happens to their citizenry after 5 o'clock when my crew all goes home, and...
Is Larry still doing the Critter thing, Kelly?
Yes. Yes.
He's still alive, huh? Larry, he was ancient 20 years ago.
Larry's doing a phenomenal job.
Good, good.
I called him once.
Huh?
I called him.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah.
Their other issue was money, and in both cases, I feel like I have solid answers for them, but they're a politically motivated group, and so I don't know that they necessarily heard what I had to say. So where we've left it with Battleground, and if you remember, you just can kind of make sense of it on your own, Battleground is the largest jurisdiction of the three that we're trying to bring into the fold. And so without them, it's a little bit of a challenge to take on the other two without more resources. So Battleground is going to wait until year's end, which means perhaps even February, to get a sense of how 2017 turned out for them financially and whether or not they feel like they can afford us. I can't and I won't give them a break on the cost. The cost is what the cost is. I do feel as though that they weren't complete in their comparison of my costs to their costs. Like, I don't think that they had a dispatcher in part of their costs. I know that they didn't have any of their attorneys, payroll, HR, city manager, you know, OA, they didn't have any of that in there. And I did, because I have to. So I don't know that it was necessarily an apples and apples comparison, but again, that was a difficult thing to explain to them at the microphone, and I think they came there with kind of sort of a decision in their mind ahead of time. So I'm still pursuing that. I'm not done with that. That's one of my big personal goals that before I retire in 15 more years.
Is their police department happy with doing animal control?
They won out of the business yesterday.
I would think so.
We tried to make them take an injured skunk last week.
A skunk?
A UPS driver found an injured skunk on the road, put it in his truck, and brought it to Alder Creek.
No.
Oh, but that was nice. The staff put it in one of the glass anesthesia chambers out in the backyard because I wouldn't let them bring it in to do anything about it. And we tried to get their animal control to take it, and they flat out refused to come and get it.
Yeah,
so we ended up euthanizing it, but I had a couple of volunteer staff who were actually willing to get close to it. So
I will I will say that I did a road trip and I went to each city hall and I have sat down with each police chief and they're all, yeah, we need you yesterday. So they're advocating for us and that's fine. And I believe that Richfield and La Center are both. In the belief that it's all going to happen January 1st. Just yesterday, the county manager presented the county manager's proposed 2018 budget readopt, and we're in it to have this, what they call, decision package that says Battleground, Richfield, La Center are going to pay us money, and we're going to supply a sixth animal control officer to supply that demand. But there's a caveat in there that Paul can't have or spend any of that money unless the money's flowing in the door, right? So if it's February, March, December, you know, so be it. We'll see how it plays out.
So all three police agencies are on board. It's
oh, yeah.
the city of Battleground that's dragging feet. Is that correct?
The ones who control
they're still in the consideration mode, yes.
But with their population exploding,
their police department's going to be more and more unhappy as time goes by.
Well, the gentleman that they it's managed through their police department, but it's actually just one guy, and he does it part time.
He's the bailiff
because he's also
too,
the bailiff,
he? Yeah.
And he's like a code enforcement guy, and he, you know, so he's doing all these other things where that business is growing as well. So they're feeling that they can't keep him busy enough doing that. Well, then what do? They don't really want to hire a new person. So, although that was mentioned, well, Mr. Scarpelli, with the outrageous amount of money you're going to charge us, we can just go, you know, hire our own person. Like, well, no, you can't. Not for that amount of money. You're only getting a fraction of a person, and you can't call 1-800 Animal Control and find a lengthy list of qualified people that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So, but you know, you're at the microphone and you play nice. So, we'll see.
That's so short-sighted. Okay. So, shelter updates. Lisa kind of gave hers before she left. Do you want to go over the counties?
I don't know that I have a whole lot. We are getting ready to commission our fifth officer that's been on board with the smash, just passed for 6 months. What do they call that?
Probation.
Probation, thank you. Thank you.
It's getting late.
That and what was my other word this evening?
Pilot.
Pilot, yes. Probation and pilot. So we're excited about that. She's excited about that. We did order our two new trucks, but if you remember, the last one took almost a year to arrive. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that we can maybe see that first quarter, maybe second quarter of next year versus mm-hmm. a whole year out. We will be doing some office moves in our general area. You probably won't see much of a change, but it's been on the books for quite some time.
You changing floors or?
No. As the other departments that are part of community development have expanded, given the housing boom and whatnot, space, it's important that you get clients through the system quickly, because if you don't, then it slows down the building, and time is money in that industry. So they've been pretty robust, pretty diligent, and what's a P word? Persistent in hiring people for building inspectors, plans examiners, and engineers and whatnot, so they need to have seats for these people, so we're getting squished, which is fine. Most of my staff are gone during the day, so it's appropriate that they have a smaller desk. We, as you know, have a Y2K database system that community development department is spending many millions of dollars of updating. It still doesn't look like we're on the short radar, probably more of a 2019 thing. So I just had two staff members go to Virginia Beach, Virginia, for the National Association of Animal Control conference, and they came back with brochures for software that, you know, because they always have a vendor or exhibitor area, and they were, you know, you've got to look at this. And I think that it would be wise if we just say we can't wait, because that day just never seems to be arriving, to move into the community development databases, that we would probably partner or seriously look at what the shelter is doing, because we do such a huge business with them. It would be just savvy if we were able to look at each other electronically and figure things out much, but you know, redemption rates or whatever it is might go up. We'll have to see. The only other thing I have tonight is we have our final farmers market this weekend. It's supposed to be nice, and I'm still in need of volunteers if anybody is about.
What time is that?
I have an 11 to 1 and a 1 to 3.
Bring a book. It's really boring.
It could be. I don't think it's the last. Maybe
it's the last
one, and it's supposed to be nice. So it could be popping.
It could be busy.
It could be.
It's a lot smaller. There's a lot fewer vendors, at least when I was there last week. So it doesn't reach the whole L, like the what I call the top of the L or the bottom of the L. It wasn't. wasn't there at all last week.
What are you
talking
about?
Oh, it's not. It's just the one line down.
Farmer's Market.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you go and hang out at the booth with one of the officers and you just answer questions.
Do you have anybody listed?
And kind of push the license.
I have Terry first thing in the morning at 9, and then I have 2 hours at 11 and 2 hours at 1.
I'll do 11 to 1.
I was going to say, I can do 11 to 1.
Well,
I can't do 1 to 3.
More you should just come and
okay.
And learn.
Yeah, it's okay.
It'd be
perfect.
Great.
I'd feel more comfortable doing it someone who's done it anyway. Okay, I'll do the 11 to 1 as well.
Okay.
And our brochures will be there?
Oh, yeah.
I only say that because, you know, one time.
Yeah.
I know.
I really try to present myself as perfect. However, you all know better by now.
That's not
it. It's okay. Yeah.
Yes.
It's good. So nobody, you don't have anybody from 1 to 3 then?
That's fine. That's fine.
Trish going to be there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just make sure she gets a potty break and some coffee before
yeah,
we leave.
Then she'll be happy.
I might and be I able to do it, but I don't. I'll have to let you know. I didn't have checks.
Well, just show up. Just show up. Fine.
Okay.
Although you might want to reach out to, I do have two other officers this weekend because now I have 5 people, right? So I actually have 3 on Saturdays, which is great. So I do have 2 in the field while the third is at the farmer's market. But you might be wise if you get a hold of Pat, just say, you know, is it still going, or did you have to take down because there's cattle on I-5 or something?
Some weird thing.
Yeah. Or pony at Ross.
It has to be a
way to go with
pony
a pony. Yeah. Nice job.
No, it has to be a pony at something with a P.
A pony at Pioneer.
No, that's downtown Portland. Anyhow, how are our licensing going? Is it?
It's still good. If you looked, I did pay attention to that. So if you look at July, it appeared as though we were down year to date from last year from a quantity standpoint, but up as far as money is concerned. But then you go look at the next one, which is August, and we're up 2% for dog, down 3% for cat, up 45% for money. Then you look at September, and we're up 1% for dog, down 2%, up 44% for the financials. Yeah. So it kind of bounces around right in there. Yeah. And again, given that this is all at the new higher rate that we're back holding of our own, up 1%, down 2%. That's fantastic.
Have you seen any difference in licensing since we started doing the online? Are more people licensing, or is it really
more people,
difference?
More people are moving to that. We get less in the mail, but you can see the rate's not going down. So fewer people are filling it out and sending it in. The more people are doing it online, but not we didn't see a bump because we went to online.
Yeah, okay. The transactions is like pretty much flat.
But, yeah.
Do you see any difference? Question. Sorry. Do you see any difference after a farmer's market when we?
Huge. It's huge. No.
That's what I want you to say. Is it really?
I think that I had that dream years ago, but really it's just one of those touching people in a nice way, sort of in an environment where it's dog friendly, I think it may have been an interviewee, said, you know, try to be less of a police presence and more of an advocate for animals in the community. I think that's really what the focus is.
Well, that's what we try to do.
Yeah.
And you never know. You're giving them the information.
Yeah.
They may not do it right away.
Right, that's
they may
true.
Take it home
that's
and think
true.
About it.
Yeah. Okay. So, round table. Anybody have any exciting things to share?
Do you guys know that there was a confirmed rabid bat in Camas not too long ago?
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
So people don't really think about the licensing always involves rabies vaccination, so that might be just another way to approach people. When you're
was it in the paper?
Yeah. I cut it out and took it to work.
Yeah,
wow.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
So most of the rabies that's documented in Washington State is bats, but that's the first one I've heard of in Clark County in a while. Do you know, Paul, if there's been any others lately?
No, none that I've heard of.
So how is it in Portland to get your license renewed, you have to show proof of rabies, but up here, we don't do that.
Would you like to take that?
Well, I honestly don't know why we don't do it anymore. You used to make us send in a copy, and now you don't.
Oh, you don't have to?
Yeah.
When you renew... the first time you buy a license, you have to prove rabies, and
after that, you don't.
But in Portland, anytime you renew, you have to show it.
Well, that may not be true anymore, because Portland veterinarians now have to think on all their clients and send the information to animal control.
Right. Well, they call. They send in.
Yeah, they fax in information. There's actual proof of rabies vaccination there.
That's why I pointed at our resident. Is because the Washington State Veterinary Medical Association won't allow it.
The PVMA didn't want to allow it either, but they got it anyway. Yep. So, the veterinary community doesn't want people. But they're number one. They're afraid they're going to lose business if clients know they're going to get. Outed to the county for rabies vaccination, and they're afraid it would discourage rabies vaccination. And the second is they don't want the extra paperwork and the hassles, and their computers may or may not be willing to do it for them, and they're just kind of lazy.
In Portland, when I worked at a vet place, I felt it really increased how many people.
Oh, it did. It made a huge difference. Multnomah County's like giving money away to people.
It would be.
I actually think it would be a good idea, but then there's also the privacy things, and there's a lot of concerns, a lot of objections to it. So I think if you give it another 5 years, then there probably won't be that many people objecting to it, because a lot of the old freedom fighters are going to be gone by then.
Well, and again, it's the perception that we're the animal police,
right?
And the government versus we're all in this together, trying to do the right thing for animals in our community, and we just happen to not have good revenue streams to help us in that.
And rabies vaccinations are required by the state, period, for all dogs and cats So they're required by law to get it, so one would assume that if they're actually volunteering to pay the licensing fee, that they're probably getting them, keeping them current on the rabies vaccine. But
you can only hope.
Yeah. I think animal control kind of ran out of bodies to do the documentation for the yearly thing with your new automated scannable form.
Well, our renewal forms say on there that you're required to maintain your rabies vaccination, and we're just going to believe
that you have.
But if you don't, then you will be.
You should add something where you can check off, I certify that my animal is current on its rabies.
I think you do.
It does.
I've never had to check
on the online one. On the online one, maybe.
Yeah, but not on the paper one.
Something like that.
Put it on the renewal form and have people sign them. I mean, nobody has to sign them. You just basically mark their, put in your amount and send them a check.
Yeah, so I just mailed mine in and I didn't have to
do anything.
Yeah, I was
there. Well, I think it says you certify that you can provide proof upon.
Yeah, upon request. Yeah,
something like that.
But you don't have to check anything or sign anything, so it's not legally you're not, to be held to it, unless of course the state decides to get up.
Like my dog is, what's the term I'm looking for? She's
pernicious.
No, like she can't have the rabies vaccine.
She's allergic.
Yes.
Okay.
So
she's got the exemption or whatever.
She's got the lifetime exemption.
But you know what? The state of Washington does not recognize exemptions anymore.
Really?
They do not. When they changed the law.
2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah. When they changed the law, they basically said you all need to have your animal's rabies vaccination. No exceptions, period.
Yeah, because I remember I had to go in for my 20-year-old cat. That was like, because we had stopped them a few years earlier, but then it changed, and it's like,
interesting. Yeah.
So they need to be done every 3 years.
She went to the, twice now. She's been vaccinated. When she was younger, she went to the ICU and nearly died.
So you basically just kind of keep it under your hat.
We didn't get that.
Because
we never heard
the veterinarian can write all the letters they want. And
I don't have a dog.
Animal control in the county may accept an exemption, but I don't know if you can now that the state doesn't allow it.
Wow.
So the state supersedes all the county's things. So
interesting.
That is interesting.
Just be glad that you don't have to certify it right now.
I've vaccinated my horses.
Yeah.
Because you have to give them license.
But you don't have to register them.
Do horses need rabies?
Any warm-blooded?
Anything does. Huh. I don't think it's required by the state, but it's wise.
No, it's
to
not
do
required.
It.
Yeah. Frog, and maybe, not a ton of horse owners do it.
No. Well, not a ton of horse owners don't do much.
Hey.
Following things that would be helpful for.
But I did hear that we had rabies closer than normal this year.
And
I'm pretty surprised.
It's the bats that give the rabies to the horses, too.
We have bats in our barn.
Yeah, you have a rabid bat floating around. Now, obviously, down in South America, it's a little more important because they have vampire bats down there. But if they step on a rabid bat that's flopping around and it gets bit, then. And I've actually seen a case of equine rabies down in California. Yeah, we didn't know what it was until they did the autopsy, and everybody who handled it had to go talk to the doctor about maybe getting a vaccination. But we were already vaccinated, so it didn't matter.
I wanted to ask why the people didn't know the pony was gone.
What?
Until the next day.
So
she forgot that she had gone.
The owner was out of town for several days.
Oh, okay.
And
that makes
and,
sense.
And
the pony sitter was
Someone went through the whole property is gated, including the driveway. So it's a larger parcel, like 3.5 acres, and it was all set up correctly, and there was food, water, shelter, and all that. Just no pony. and so they left the gate open.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah. That was what we tried to be sort of the message in. Because we knew it was going to, given the well-being of the animal, I mean, it had perfect hoofs and it groomed and, you know,
yeah,
no issues. It was a
well taken care of.
You just don't abandon an animal like that. So we knew there was something was amiss. So I reached out right away to the press, thinking, okay, well, here's one that doesn't come along very often that actually has a. We know there's going to be a good ending to this, and so part of the message that we tried to build into that was make sure that when you are out of town, that you completely instruct your caretakers on how to handle the animals, but then also maybe even have signs on your gates and, you know, things like that, so that these sorts of things don't happen. And the horse was nearly a mile from its house, and
they go pretty fast.
You know, but it's a very commercial, retail commercial heavy area, and what was shocking was that the first call that we got was from 911 after, like, the police were already there. So no one else in this mile period of time ever.
I was a big dog.
Just because, you know, because where the literally the picture was taken that was on Facebook was right where we.
Is this the horse downtown?
By the mall.
By the mall.
No, there's my danger room.
Liz, can you not chip a horse?
But there are horses in that area.
You can. It's not very common.
It's not very common. We did check it. And then I'm told that because of a horse's act, that the chips tend to move a little bit more than they do.
The microchips are designed now not to move, but that's been a relatively recent change.
Okay.
So. But I thought that if they were going to chip them, they'd chip them in the ear. Stay away from the withers. But I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't work on horses. I haven't touched one since I sold mine years
ago.
Well,
the articles online was all I read, and that was nothing mentioned about the owners being away or they just said the gate was left open and the owners didn't know the pony was gone until the next day. And
It was wise to keep their name out of the papers, too, for that reason, because there was going to be a lot of haters online.
Right. So
can we close the meeting? If the round table's
Round table, we're done. So we will adjourn the meeting, and our next meeting is January 25th. So have a wonderful holiday.